Welcome again to our series on Know Your Bible. How important it is to know your Bible. Well, that's God's Word. That is the, if I could say this, the book of instruction to take us from earth to heaven. And therefore we should read this book and study it and know it. And this series is has this in mind, that in listening, you will come to know your Bible in a way perhaps you didn't know it before. Well, we're in the second book of Kings now, and it starts off with the king of Israel, the son of Ahab, one of the most wicked men that ever lived, being sick. And he sends a messenger, his men off to some false prophet to find out indeed whether he'll live or not. He's intercepted by the prophet Elijah, and Elijah says, why are you going to these false prophets? Why don't you come to God? And he said, this is the message of God. Go and tell your messengers, your king, that indeed he will die. Well, the king, having got that message, sends 50 men to seek to kill Elijah. And they said, oh, man of God, come down from that hill. And Elijah says, well, if I be a man of God, let fire come down. Fire came down, consumed those 50 men. Well, the king, in blindness of rage, sends another 50. And they, too, are consumed by fire. Then, still, you know, it's almost impossible to realize this. But here, he's lost 100 men in trying to get the prophet because God is intervening. And he should have gone to the prophet himself and said, you know, I'm wrong. Ask God to pray for me, that his judgment will be reversed. But no, he sent another 50. And this captain said, you know, have compassion on my people, on my men. You know, please, please have mercy on us. God said to Elijah, you can go down and talk to the king. He went down and talked to the king and said, you're going to die because of your wickedness. And then after that, we have a very interesting scenario. Elijah starts moving towards Jordan. And he goes with Elisha. He goes through the school of the prophets. And the prophet said to Elisha, don't you know that today God is going to take Elijah? He said, I know. And Elisha stood with Elijah and would not let him out of his sight. They go through Jordan. You know, the mantle comes off Elijah, hits the water, it opens, they cross on dry ground. And then on the other side of Jordan, you know, Elijah says to Elisha, what would you that I would give you? He said, a double portion of the anointing that's upon you. And Elijah said, you've asked for a hard thing, but if you see me go up, then you'll receive that double portion. Well, as the two of them were talking, the chariots of Israel went between them, and Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind. And he dropped his mantle, and Elisha took the mantle, and there he got what he'd asked for, a double portion of the power of the Spirit that was upon Elijah. He went to Jordan, and there he hit the waters with the mantle, and the waters opened up, and he went through. And then there were something like 14 miracles in the life of Elisha that are recorded in the Word of God, significant ones. But I want to concentrate, too, on the thought of the kings. The kings of Judah, the kings of Israel. The kings of Israel were very wicked indeed. You know, King Solomon wrote in the Proverbs, he said this, "You know, there are many princes for the wicked." In other words, wicked people do not last for long. And so soon, 20 kings had sat on the throne of Israel. And in that time, well, what should we say? All that had issued forth from them was evil and wickedness. They just spewed out wickedness. Oh, how cruel they were. But I want to concentrate now upon the righteous ones. It was in the land of Judah. And I want to speak specifically about one, Hezekiah. Now, in our last session, we spoke of another righteous king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. Now we're going to speak of another one, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a man who was devoted to God. And he was very pious, he was very godly. And as soon as he came to the throne at the age of 25, well, he made a decree that there was to be a Passover kept. And that Passover was the greatest Passover that they'd had since King David. And all Israel came to that feast. They had a great revival. Great revival. And Hezekiah was known for his goodness. He was known for his righteousness. And alongside Hezekiah, who was one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, Isaiah. And much of the life of Hezekiah is recorded in Isaiah. And I want to look at a certain aspect of the life of Hezekiah is very important indeed. You see, although Hezekiah was a righteous man, his subjects were still into idolatry and so forth. And God had raised up the Assyrian army, and the Assyrian army had come down, and they had indeed taken the whole of Israel now, and they were going to move down to Judah. And God spoke in a very significant fashion and said, "The Assyrians are the rod of my anger." But then he goes on to say, "But I will protect Jerusalem. I will protect Jerusalem." Well, God has to prepare Hezekiah for this great trial of faith. And we'll come to that in a moment. But he wants to reveal to Hezekiah his tremendous power. So Hezekiah becomes sick. And the first thing that God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Go in and tell Hezekiah to prepare his house because he will die." Well, that is a tremendous thing to hear, isn't it? And any normal person, after hearing a word like that from a major prophet like Isaiah, would simply say, "Well, it's the end." But not Hezekiah. He turns over towards the wall on his bed and he cries out unto God and said, "You know, my life has been so short. 14 years at the moment. So it's been so short." And he says, "Oh, give me more time. Give me more time." that I can serve you. And before Isaiah had got out of the court of the king's palace, God spoke to him again, said, go back and tell him he shall live. Well, he goes back to Hezekiah and says, in 3 days, you're going into the house of the Lord. God's going to heal you. But Hezekiah says, well, what is the sign whereby I will know that God is going to heal me? And so Isaiah said, would you like the sun to go down 15 degrees or back 15 degrees? And the king says, well, it's easy for the sun to go down 15 degrees. Let it go back 15 degrees. Have you ever heard of a conversation like that in the whole history of mankind? A king and a prophet deciding whether the sun is going down 15 degrees or going back 15 degrees. Yet these two men were so filled with faith that they could speak in these terms, knowing that whatever they said would come to pass. Isaiah said, all right, the sun will go back 15 degrees. And you can watch it on the sundial of your father, Ahaz, which is on the wall over there. And Isaiah travailed in prayer before God, and the sun went back 15 degrees. And then he said to Hezekiah, or to the servants of Hezekiah, he said, you know, get some figs and boil them and put them on that boil that he has, he'll be healed. 3 days later, Hezekiah was indeed healed and in that temple, as Isaiah has said. Well, after that, what confidence he has in God. Now then, the king of Assyria is being brought down by God against Judah and against all the wickedness there is in the land of Judah, in spite of the godly king. And they take city after city. Then they camp at Lachish. The king camps at Lachish, a city not very far from Jerusalem, with his army. But then he sends 185,000 of his troops to surround Jerusalem, so they can't get away. And then the general of the Assyrian army starts to talk to some envoys of the king outside the city and said, you know, why don't you come out? Don't believe what King Hezekiah says. Don't believe that your God is going to save you. Because he said, look, none of the gods of all the other countries that the king of Assyria has passed through have been able to save their people. He said, your God, the God of Hezekiah, will not be able to save you against my master, the king of Assyria. Well, then there was a letter written, you see, by the king to Hezekiah, and saying, you know, what God has been able to stand against me? And Hezekiah brought this letter, laid it before the Lord with all these threatenings. And he said, look. And then God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, go and tell the king, I have heard the threatenings of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and I will defend this city, and I will send him back to his own. Well, here's the 185,000 around the city, and God said, you won't have to fight. And then one night, the angel of the Lord came forth and slew 185,000 of the Assyrians. When they woke up, they were all dead men. And Sennacherib, you know, realizing he'd lost his army because he was at Lachish, not at Jerusalem, he slunk back to his capital, Nineveh. And there he went into the house of his God, and about 2 hours later, I beg your pardon, 2 years later, 2 years later, he was assassinated by two of his sons who escaped, and Esarhaddon came upon the throne after him. Well, all the nations heard about the healing of Hezekiah. They'd heard about the wonderful deliverance that God had given concerning the Assyrians, and they all came, you see. And here again, as we've said before, you know, the righteous like David, Jehoshaphat, and now Hezekiah, they all have flaws in their characters. And unfortunately, what happened at this moment was this, that Hezekiah and all Jerusalem with him, their hearts were lifted up in pride. And the king of Babylon came, his princes, and Hezekiah showed him all the treasures that had come. And the result was that Isaiah said, well, what did they see? Well, he said, I showed them everything. And so God, through Isaiah, said, all those things could have been taken into captivity, into Babylon, as well as the sons that come forth from your loins. Well, Hezekiah repented. But during those 15 years that God gave him as an extension of life, there was born to him in this time of pride a man by the name of Manasseh. And Hezekiah died, and Manasseh ascended the throne. Now, so often is it true that when someone is born, a child is born, you know, their makeup depends very much on how their children, the fathers were when they were conceived. And so Manasseh was conceived in a time of pride. He came to the throne at the age of 12, and his reign was a reign of murder, idolatry, immorality. In fact, tradition says that he even killed Isaiah the prophet. Well, God, in his long suffering, brought up the Babylonians, and he was taken off into captivity, Babylonians in fetters, and there he came to his senses like the prodigal son. And there he cried out to God and said, O Lord, have mercy upon me, and I will change if you will bring me back to my throne. Well, God did bring him back to his throne. And he, in great repentance, you know, sought to turn the nation back to God. He had actually the longest reign of all the kings, 55 years. Died at the age of 67. Well, there we are. God's long suffering. His son Ammon, however, continued in the former ways of his father in wickedness, and God slew him in 2 years. And then came the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given some 300 odd years before, that God would raise up from the line of David a king that would sit upon his throne named Josiah, and he would rid the country of idolatry. You know, Ammon's son was Josiah. And he came to the throne at the tender age of 8. But by the time he was 16, his character was formed, and he was godly. And at the 13th year of his reign, Jeremiah started to prophesy. There was another prophet by the name of Zephaniah. And those three young men spearheaded one of the greatest revivals, in fact, if not the greatest revival, that Israel had ever known. And the result was that God gave all the territory that David had ruled over back to a king, and he reigned all over all the 12 tribes, because the Assyrians now were in demise, the Babylonians had arisen, and so they were weakened. But you know, as I said before, it's so unfortunate that we have people with flaws. Now then, God called up the Egyptians under Pharaoh Necho to go to Carchemish to fight there against the Babylonians. And the result was this, that as the Egyptians came up the coast, Josiah went out to fight. And Pharaoh Necho, speaking on behalf of God, or God speaking through Pharaoh Necho, said, "Don't meddle with me. I'm sent by God up to Carchemish." He said, "If you meddle with me, you'll die." But Josiah, seemingly in a mood of presumption, thinking that no one could stand against him because he indeed had encompassed the whole land and got it all back, he thought, "No, Pharaoh Necho will not stand against me." But Pharaoh Necho won the battle, and Josiah was mortally wounded. It's interesting that as he lay dying, they took him from his first chariot to the second. In other words, he had not hit the mark of the high calling of God for his life. Oh, how careful we have to be in every situation that we are in, that we call on God and that we hear what God is saying, even though it's coming from the enemy. Well, Josiah then was replaced by his sons, who were not godly by any means. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoashin, Zedekiah. Well, what happened? These kings were very wicked. And they had the prophet Jeremiah, who time after time was sent by God to warn them of their wicked ways. Jehoiakim, you know, had such a disregard for the word of God that when Jeremiah prophesied and his scribe Baruch wrote it down, you know, and it was presented to the princes concerning the judgments that were coming upon Jerusalem, and they brought it to the king. The king, after every page of that prophecy had been read to him, took a penknife and cut it up, threw it into the fire. In spite of the fact that the princes pleaded with him not to do so. Well, of course, God is God. So he gave the same prophecy again to Jeremiah. Well, what happened then? You know, because of the wickedness of these kings and the wickedness of the princes and all in Jerusalem and Judea, God warned and he said, "I'm going to raise up the Babylonians," something that he had said in Deuteronomy through the lips of Moses, that God would raise up a cruel and a fierce nation. They would come, they would besiege, and the starvation would be so great that women would be eating their sons. And here come the Babylonians. They first, you know, come up in the time of Jehoiakim. And then they fall back again. They come again in the time of Jehoiachin, and they take him prisoner for 37 years. He's in a Babylonian prison before he's elevated again to freedom. But then comes the last king, Zedekiah, and he reigned for 11 years before the Babylonians overran in 586 BC Jerusalem. And Zedekiah was warned and warned and warned by Jeremiah the prophet that unless he repented, God was going to bring the Babylonians and utterly destroy Jerusalem. But he didn't listen. And the result was the Babylonians did overrun Jerusalem. They ransacked it. They destroyed the temple. And Zedekiah was brought to Riblah, where the king of Babylon was. And his children were slain before his very eyes. And then his eyes were put out and he was taken in chains to Babylon. Yes, God rewarded the righteous, and God judged with severity the wicked. And so Babylon was there, the masters of Israel, for 70 years, as Jeremiah prophesied. You know, may we listen carefully to these messages, and may we seek to walk in righteousness, that we will be blessed like the righteous kings were. And may we take as great warnings the judgments of God upon the wicked. May God bless you.